Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, this morning. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and we are going to begin reading at verse 37, I guess. We'll start right there. Let's take a minute and pray. Oh, Father, we see you standing at the door this morning. We love you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord, that our earthly fathers could give us good gifts. How much more will our Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Lord, open the word to us this morning and help us to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus, of course, has been teaching to the thousands, and he was told that they are all starving, and he says to them, give them something to eat. And they said, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. And so they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, this is a tremendous miracle that Jesus did. You know, everything that Moses did, you know, he was prophesied that when the Messiah came, he will be like Moses. Everything Moses did, Jesus did as well, even on a greater level. You know, Moses fed the thousands in the wilderness, and Jesus fed the thousands as well. But our story goes on. This is really not the crux of the message. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Aren't you glad that when we are straining in the middle of our storm, Jesus notices it too? Praise the Lord. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. I love how Jesus always did that, like, la la la, I'm just going to walk by the boat here on the water. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them, and he said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat, to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. I always wait to see if the Holy Spirit will validate the word that God gave me. And Eddie, in prayer, said something about the hardened heart. And I said, there it is, Lord. You know, this morning I want to talk about a heart condition. As you know, we had prayer, and I have a father-in-law who currently has a heart condition. And my cousin Debbie, that many of you know, I don't know if they know the story of her husband Larry. Larry was a great guy, Larry Skaggs. And his family had a history of heart disease or heart trouble. And, you know, when you hear that, it's always my dad died of it, and my grandpa died of it, or mother, or so on. And they had a big dog that got loose, and he was chasing him. He was a healthy guy chasing the dog, trying to catch it, dropped over dead. And, you know, those are so heart-wrenching. No, you know, I guess that's kind of a pun, but because you don't expect it. someone to just drop over dead, and it was sad, and the funeral was sad, as most of them are. But in the text this morning, we find that the disciples had a heart condition. They were amazed beyond measure, and they wondered at this thing of Jesus walking on the water, for they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Now, when we think about a hardened heart, we think about some man on death row who murdered people, or we think about those people who have road rage, or the people who shoot people. But we're talking about disciples here. We're talking about us this morning, people who know Jesus, people who walk with Jesus. And it says they were amazed beyond measure and wondered, for they didn't consider the miracles of the loaf because their heart was hardened. So in addition to my father-in-law and my cousin Larry, I submit to you that all of us have a heart condition. So what does the Bible mean about a man's heart? You know, every son and daughter of Adam has a heart condition. God knew that, and he prophesied about this in the Old Testament. A few verses from Ezekiel and Jeremiah. In Ezekiel 11:19, he said, "I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh." And of course, that should be our aspiration, to have a soft heart, a heart of flesh, not one like a rock, one that's insensitive and uncaring and angry. Ezekiel 36:26, these are prophecies about a future date. These are prophecies about a day when God will perform a miracle in the hearts of men. Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And then Jeremiah 24:7, "And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And then Jeremiah 32:39, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them." Notice these two from Jeremiah talks about a heart to seek me, a heart to fear me. It's more than just saying, "I have a heart of flesh." It's a heart that is hungry for God. It's a heart that is not insensitive to the things of God. And then in Deuteronomy, all the way back in Deuteronomy, Moses prophesying in 30:6, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul, so that you may live." And so what does it mean to have a circumcised heart? Well, you know, the circumcision is the cutting away of useless flesh. And that's what a circumcised heart is, a heart that God cuts away stuff that shouldn't be in your heart, that shouldn't be in your heart or your mind or your thoughts, and says, "This needs to go so that you can be a person who loves me with all their heart, with all their soul." Now, we know the story in John 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." You don't hear that phrase. You know, there was a time when all the Hollywood actors got saved, at least supposedly, and there was this big thing back in the, I think it was the 80s or 90s, I don't remember when it was, and everybody was getting born again. And I'm glad I'm born again this morning. How about you? I'm glad that there was a day when I heard the gospel and I responded and walked an aisle. You don't have to walk an aisle. You just got to bow your heart and say, "Lord, I'll follow you. Be willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Identify yourself with him and his death, his resurrection, and have a genuine repentant heart. And you will be born again." And this is what those Old Testament prophets were talking about, a day where a miracle of miracles happens. When a person's genuinely saved, all of a sudden God reaches in and takes that heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh. And all of a sudden the things that you used to like, you don't like, and the things that you used to hate, you do like, you know. And that's the miracle. of the new birth. That's the miracle that God performs. But sometimes, because of various things, even Christians can start to become a little divided. Our hearts can become a little calloused. Maybe people hurt us and we're having trouble forgiving or whatever the case may be. In Hosea chapter 10, the Old Testament prophet said in Hosea 10:12, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you." What did he mean by the fallow ground? Well, the Bible teaches that our heart is like soil, and it can either be fertile soil that can grow fruits and vegetables, or it can be that Oklahoma baked clay, as we're all familiar with, that's kind of hard to dig, and it can get hard. And the prophet Hosea said, break up the fallow ground. It's putting that sickle, that spade, that plow in, and turning the soil so that the deep, rich soil that will grow plants is now on the top instead of the baked hardness. And of course, he's not talking about dirt or plants. He's talking about the heart. He's talking about breaking up the hardness of our heart so that we are palatable and that we can receive God's word and that we can bear fruit and that we can grow. Amen. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about a man went to sow seeds, and he threw these seeds out. And he said these seeds, some of them fell on good ground, and some of them fell on bad ground, some of them fell on stony ground, and some brought forth fruit, and some didn't, and the weeds of some of them choked out the seed. And then when the disciples asked him what it meant, he said, the seed is the word of God. And the soil is men's hearts. And he said, if you understand this parable, you can understand all the parables, because everything is about the heart of man. God's greatest desire is not that we be religious or that we always go to church and we help people across the street and we give money. God's greatest concern is our heart. If we can keep our heart right with God, God can take care of all the mistakes we make, because we will make mistakes. We're not perfect. But God wants us to have a heart that he can talk to, a heart that he can work with. Amen. Well, I guess the poster child, and again, I think Eddie made reference to this, I guess the poster child for a hard heart in the Bible is who? Pharaoh, right? He's the poster child, as they call it. I mean, if anybody needs to understand what a man looks like with a hard heart, it's Pharaoh. So, got quite a few verses here I'm going to read. We're going to kind of go through these quickly. I don't want to take up too much time. But these are kind of the synopsis of Pharaoh's hardened heart. Number one, a hardened heart does not change after some relief of tough circumstances. Exodus 8:15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite in his trouble, he hardened his heart and hearkened not to them, as the Lord said. Have you ever known people said, Lord, if you just get me out of this, I'll do that, and then as soon as it's over with, they don't keep their word? Those foxhole prayers, right? A hardened heart, number two, a hardened heart does not recognize the finger of God. Exodus 8:19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord said. You know, being a prophecy buff, I tell people, all this stuff that you're seeing going on, this madness around the world, we are so close to the last days. Jesus is coming soon, and people, they just blow you off. They say, well, you know. People have been saying that forever. Same thing, you know, his own magician told him, this is the finger of God, this stuff that God's doing to Egypt. Hardened hearts don't recognize it. Number three, a hardened heart might want something from God, but does not hear God. 8:28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far. So, you know, it's like, you know, these people that want to negotiate with God. Lord, if I go to church, will you do this for me? Just a hardened heart. Number four, a hardened heart expects the word of God to fail and does not recognize its faithfulness. Chapter 9, verse 7 of Exodus. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. So all of their cattle's dead. He goes to Israel's camp. None of theirs are dead. He's got this sign right here, and yet doesn't recognize God's faithfulness. A hardened heart remains hardened even under severe pain. Exodus 9:10. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh and Moses and sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became boils breaking forth with blains upon man and on beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were upon the magicians and upon the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not to them as the Lord had said to Moses. A hardened heart may even say the right words. You know, just because you can speak Christianese doesn't mean your heart's right, right? I say Christianese. Exodus 9:27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. So, you know, he's saying it, but his heart isn't saying it. Doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. It's what's in your heart. Amen? A hardened heart does not recognize its chaos. Exodus 10:7. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord God. Know you not that Egypt is destroyed? And, you know, and again, going back to these last days, as you see what's going on, you know, the Bible says the plague of the last days is people's skin dissolving. It describes the effect of a nuclear bomb. And you tell people, you know, if you don't get saved and go up in the rapture, you got some dark days ahead of you. And his own advisors are telling Pharaoh, man, Egypt is destroyed. It's over, man. And yet some people just can't get it. And it's not because they're dumb. It's not because they can't understand your words. Because of the condition of the heart. A hardened heart blames the messenger instead of recognizing its condition. And Pharaoh said to him, get thee from me. Take heed to yourself. See my face no more, for the day you see it, you shall die. I don't even know if I need to comment on that. I've been blamed by being the messenger. I'm sure you have too. You want to tell people something, they go, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it. Isn't that sad? A hardened heart will be broken beyond healing. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Exodus 11:9. There probably is a place. I'm not God. I can't tell you where it's at. That if a person doesn't repent of a hard heart, they may never repent. And that gives me a lot of grief saying that. Because God doesn't desire anyone to go to. He didn't make hell for man. He made it for the devil and his angels. So hearts become hardened. How do hearts become hardened? If our text tells us, which it does, that he's talking to the church now and not to this guy on death row, then we need to guard our hearts so that it doesn't get hardened. How do hearts become hardened? Well, of course, number one, through sin. Rebellion. You know, there's the story where David saw Bathsheba bathing and he wanted her and he took her. And then to cover his sins, when he found out she was pregnant, he had her husband sent to the front line of the war and had the rest pulled back, and her husband was killed. He thought he covered his sins. And when the messenger came and said the battle went bad and people died and Uriah the Hittite died, David, by now his heart was so desensitized, it was so hard, he said, oh well, you know, the battle kills one as well as the other. And he thought he had gotten away with it because his heart had become so hard and so desensitized. But of course Nathan the prophet came and told him about the neighbor who had all the sheep, but the neighbor that had one sheep, the neighbor came and took it. instead of using his own sheep to dress it for the guests that came. And David said, well, that man should pay 100-fold. Why did he do that? And Nathan said, you're the man, David, for you took Uriah the Hittite's wife and killed him and took her to be your own. And so sin and rebellion will harden your heart. It will make you desensitized. It'll turn it to stone. The second aspect of a hardened heart is unforgiveness. And I think we all can understand that without going into a lot of detail. Sometimes it's not easy to forgive. I was working in my building. I was watching some different messages. And I watched a little 15-minute segment from the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And it just so blessed me. And in it, he's present day telling a story, but then the video goes back and shows video from the old 80s of his crusades. And the way the story goes is that he was down in South America preaching a message, and when he got over, he said a man came up and pulled, he said, the biggest gun he had ever seen out, and he thought he was going to shoot him. And the guy laid the gun down and told him that he was going to go that night to Panama. By the way, the man came up on crutches, he only had one leg, and killed the man that ran over him and caused him to lose his leg. He was bitter and angry, and he said, I was going to kill him. I was going to drive to Panama tonight with his gun, and I was going to kill him. He said, but you preach this Jesus, and something got a hold of me. He said, actually, the reason he was there that night and didn't go is it was his mother's birthday. And she said, for my birthday, I want you to go to church with me. And so they had these big open-air, you know, sports coliseums that he was at, and that's why he was there. And God changed this man's life. Well, as he's telling the story, he says, we went back, and you know, I think he said it was 88, and this time we were in Panama, and he's telling this story as part of his sermon again, and at the end of it, a man on crutches come up, and they showed the video, and he at the end, he was off the platform hugging this guy. That was the man. And you know, that Jesus is in the business of changing hearts. He's in the business of changing hearts, not making people religious, changing hearts, changing destinies. And had it not been for the Lord changing this man's heart from being unforgiving, who knows what this man, he would probably be in prison or maybe have even been executed right now. And God only knows the things that God has averted us because we have said yes to Jesus and allowed the Holy Spirit to convict us and given us a repentant heart and changed heart. Amen. Another aspect that brings about a hardened heart is apathy or slothfulness. And again, without going into a lot of detail, I think we all know that, you know, when Hosea the prophet said, break up the fallow ground, the question is, how do I do that? What blade is so sharp that it can break up a hardened heart? And the answer is the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when we are apathetic and we don't read our Bible consistently and pray, just the world itself is so wicked that just layers of crust can get on there. And so we need to spend time in the Word so that it, like that sickle that Hosea talked about, will keep that hardened heart broken up. Amen. And then, of course, pride. Oftentimes, pride will be a big aspect of causing us to have a hardened heart. You know, I've known people who've come to church, who sat, and I've from up here, you see them, you see the tears coming down their face as the Holy Spirit's, and you ask them to come forward and let's pray, and they stay there because they're more worried about what someone will think than what God thinks, and they don't go away changed. Their heart stays the same condition. They may have been pricked in their heart, but they didn't let God do the work that God wanted to do here at these altars because of pride. And I already said that apathy, but also a lack of God's Word. You know, you can come to church and you can hear it, but there's a difference between hearing with your ears and hearing with your heart. And so just like that song, the reason I did that song over and over again, I said it earlier, is because you can hear the words of that song, but sometimes you got to hear it and then hear it. And did you see it? And from up here, I could see it too, as everybody just kind of started thinking about it the more we sang. And you could see the expression on people's face. You could see the joy. You could see the longing for heaven as we sang that song. And that's why a lack of God's word will cause your heart to be hard. And then, of course, the last one is the quenching of the Holy Spirit. I already said sin and rebellion, which obviously quenches the Holy Spirit, but it's more than that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, do this or not do this. And it's not always a sin for everybody. You know, it's not always a sin for another guy, but it may be a sin for me to do that thing, because that thing may mean more to me than whatever. And so we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. When we begin to quench the Spirit and say no to the Holy Spirit, that's when we can begin to feel that hardening of our heart come in. The text says, they were amazed beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for the heart was hardened. Beyond measure. That statement, beyond measure, means that God knows that when he performs a miracle, I mean, not everybody just walks around on water. You're supposed to be amazed. But they were amazed beyond measure. See, because for them, they had seen Jesus open blind eyes. They had seen him raise the dead and cleanse the lepers. They should expect, there's that word, expect miracles if you're hanging around Jesus. And they were amazed beyond measure. The Holy Spirit wanted us to know that God saw that they were not the believers they pretended to be, and they were walking with Jesus. They were amazed beyond measure, beyond what is reasonable for a Christian who knows the miracle-working powers of God through Jesus Christ. And why were they amazed beyond measure? Because they considered not the miracles of the loaves and the fishes. They didn't begin to remember. They just shifted gears. They took off their Christian hat, and now we're fishermen again. And I think sometimes all of us are guilty of that. We have a busy life. We do multiple things. But help us, God, not to take off our Christian hat. Help us remember after we leave church, when things are stressful and we're dealing with maybe a broken down car or finances or whatever, that Jesus is still Jesus, that he's the miracle-working man from Galilee. He walks on water. He heals the sick. And he's right there when we have financial problems. He's right there when we're having car problems. And we don't want to be guilty of having that hard heart that we are just forgetful of what God can do. Their hearts were hardened because they considered not who they know and what he can do. And so, if the Holy Spirit can single out disciples who are walking with Jesus, then yes, this sermon's for all of us. For you and for me. Like pride, we often may not recognize it in ourselves. So we need to be reminded of some of the symptoms of a hard heart, maybe impatient, quick-tempered, unloving, unforgiving, more interested in being heard or seen than listening. Hard-hearted people are angry and miserable people. And so what is the cure? Well, it starts with genuine repentance. And I can't tell you what genuine repentance is, because it's different for everybody, but it's being real with God. It's saying, I've played church long enough. It's saying, you've told me this is out here and I need to deal with it, but I keep putting it off. Today's the day. You know, that's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent. Not, I'll do it next week, I'll do it next month, or, you know, yeah, I really need to deal with this, or I need to think about this. The cure is just genuine repentance at all the things that brought me to my apathy and to my calloused attitude. Do I have a calloused attitude? Do I have a hard heart? I don't know. Do you forget about the miracle working powers of God? Do you not consider it beyond measure? You know, very, very soon, the book of Exodus and Pharaoh are getting ready to be played out on a global scale. Think about it. The whole story of Moses and Pharaoh and Exodus was a type of the tribulation period of the last days. And the plagues then are going to be poured out on a global scale. And the humanity in those days, the book of Revelation says, and yet they refuse to repent. There will be 1,000,000,000 pharaohs living on the earth as God is pouring out his judgments, and they will all have hard hearts. Come on up, Nola. The disciples of Jesus didn't even consider that it was Jesus passing by. Think about it. As many of the miracles as they saw, it was a ghost. It was the spirit of old man Peabody. I don't know where that came from. It was a ghost. They didn't even consider that it could be Jesus. Sometimes I think we're guilty of that. You know, the Bible says, be careful entertaining strangers. You may have entertained angels unaware. Maybe we need to just start considering everything that happens to us. Maybe this was God. You know, I have to remind myself that when there's traffic and I'm going to be late for where I'm going. You know, we've all probably thought maybe there's a wreck up there that I'd have been in had this not happened. Maybe we just start considering everything in our life God orchestrated. Now, we might say, well, what about the bad stuff? God allows bad things to happen to good people. They didn't even consider that it was Jesus passing by. They didn't even consider his power and his glory, even after seeing him feed thousands with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They were amazed beyond what should be normal for believers. Don't call yourself a believer if you fall in that category, because they said they were believers, but they were not. They were amazed beyond what should be normal for a believer. And it wasn't because they hadn't seen it. It wasn't because they hadn't heard it. It wasn't because they didn't hear all of his sermons and see all his miracles. It was because, the Bible tells us, because they had a hardened heart. A heart condition. Many times heart conditions are terminal. So we need to get it fixed today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for each person here, and we thank you for your miracle working power. We thank you for your word that shows us how deceived we can be because of a hardened heart. How clueless we can be because we have allowed our heart to become calloused, angry, unforgiveness, or maybe just apathetic and not daily turning the soil of our heart with God's word. But whatever the case may be, Lord, we know that a heart condition is terminal, and so we don't want to leave here without getting things straight. So we ask that you examine our heart, Lord. Just look deep inside and see if there's anything that we need to ask you to forgive us. And more than that, Lord, anything that we need to change, to repent. We pray, Lord, because we know you love us so much, that you would show us, guide us, and lead us down that path of repentance, so that we can say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. Change my heart. Purpose with your help to do the kind of things the forgiveness things, the work things, the maintenance things, to keep our heart where it should be with you. We give you the praise, for Lord, we know without you we can't do anything. So our eyes are upon you. We look to you for our help. Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And so we give you praise today for the power of your ability to take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true.
If you need to pray, the altars are open. Don't hesitate to come.
Oh God. Make it more like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May it be like you. With His Spirit and His love, let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul.
God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.